Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Silence on this wonderful Sunday evening, live from Houston, Texas. Welcome to my home. And it is sure getting dark out pretty fast now since the fall time change. But here we are looking over the beautiful Texas Medical Center. And I can see right through there, Texas Children's Hospital, MD Anderson. I can look right over here and see the NRG Stadium where Texans play. And just right around the line, and just love that view, and especially when the sun goes down at night, I just love it. But welcome to Houston. We have a wonderful guest tonight from the fantastic state of Colorado, and I'm just thrilled to have them this evening. But we're just going to have a good time. I would love to have you all call in, and if you want to have a comment or a question on tonight's program, at 888-627-6008, and we would love to be able to take a phone call or two, or your thoughts and comments, just to, if you kind of want to huddle up, got a secret. We may be giving away a set of three books tonight. So you may want to have your phones ready to text me and let me give you that text number. It's 832-326-6525. And that's my personal cell phone number that I just told everybody in the world. But anyway, feel free to text me, but don't text me too soon. And all you have to do is probably after our first break, we'll come back around 8:25, something like that. And we'll let you know, hey, text now. And that first person that logs in with the text to 832-396-6525. We will give a set of three books of the authors tonight of our guests. And it's just going to be wonderful. I've read two of their books this week, and it's really, really good reading. I just love it. Next week, brace yourself, tighten your seatbelts. We have probably one of the most influential writers that I have ever had on our program. Dr. Bruce Perry is going to be here. And he literally is a New York Times bestseller, wrote The Boy Raised by a Dog. And he is in the top one or two all the time in his categories ever since that book came out. And I know I go to Barnes & Noble down here. I'll find one copy of my book, and there's 30 of his. keep it stocked in there, but there's still one of mine. I got to go in there and get and buy mine so they'll reorder some. But anyway, there's like 30 of his because his book is just, and I've actually heard him speak at several conferences. And he works at Baylor College of Medicine, but I think he lives in Canada and here, and just known worldwide. And it will literally talk about how your brain handles trauma. It's going to be a really deep program, but very informative next week. Dr. Bruce Perry right here at 8 o'clock next Sunday night, Central Time, 8 p.m. So we'd love to have you. Hope you're having a good week. I hope the election and all that stuff, all I want to say about that is I'm glad it's all over. I was tired of the commercials. So now we just have to brace ourselves with what's coming and the changes that's coming and how that's going to happen. But most of all, I hope we're searching for unity. I hope the divisiveness will eventually fade away and we can just all come together and realize that we're a nation of Americans and Republican or Democrat, we're all Americans. And hopefully we can just join together and make this country stronger and work together for unity in our country. Tonight, I'm honored to have CJ. And CJ, I'm going to probably pronounce that last name wrong. It's Heights.
It's actually Hits, just like Hits. A Ritz cracker.
I had a 50-50 shot, and I missed it. Doggone it. Hits, okay. So it's exactly the way it's written. CJ Hits and his lovely wife, Shelley. I tell you, I get a lot of emails, and a lot of people get a lot of emails. But, you know, you just get that stuff. You get on something, and, you know, you sign up for a class, or you buy a book, and it's in a certain category. And I get those emails, but CJ and Shelley – have email blasts, and I don't know if it's once a week, but he'll tell us all about it. And I started to recognize the name. It's like, okay, I'm getting these a lot. And instead of just hitting delete, their topics was like, wait, I need to read that. Wait, that touches me. And then I started to look at the content, and it's like, wow, this is deep. And this is good. This is powerful. And it was meaningful. So I was starting to look forward to those emails. So I just literally one day responded back, hey, would you folks be willing to be on the program? And they just literally were grateful enough to answer back. And they share God's truth through the speaking and the writing that they're so good at. And it's wonderful. They enjoy spending time outdoors. They enjoy hiking, running. Though neither one of those things appeal to me, but that's okay. I run from my refrigerator to my recliner back. If it's a real short commercial, I'll get up to a trot. But they enjoy being in God's world and his beautiful creations. And CJ and Shelley reside in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So it is an honor tonight to have I'm not for sure we got the better half tonight, but we got half of the Hits clan, CJ Hits from Colorado Springs. Good to have you tonight, CJ. Welcome.
Oh, thanks so much, Greg. It's an honor. I appreciate you having me, and just looking forward to this hour with you.
You know, the few minutes that we just got to know each other before the show, it's like, oh, wait, we need to tape this because this is good. So we may be coming right into the middle of a conversation, but I appreciate. I read two of your books this week, and I want everybody to literally write this name down, H-I-T-Z. Just write that down. Go into Amazon and hit the category of books and hit Hits, H-I-T-Z, and you'll see all the books. And CJ, we haven't talked about this yet, but I want to find out about your little training academy. There may be some people out there that authors have want to become authors, and we'll find out about that a little bit later on. But tell me a little bit about what you and your wife, Shelley, do in your time and how you want to impact the world.
Yeah, so, you know, Shelley and I have been married, just celebrated 22 years of marriage in August. And, you know, it seems like we're in a real sweet spot, you know, which is all glory to God. We've certainly had our bumps and bruises along the way, but we're in a sweet spot where we just love ministering together, kind of complementing our gifts between writing and a lot of my wife's technical skills that I don't always possess. But, yeah, you know, you brought up the academy. You know, we started something called Christian Book Academy, several years ago, just out of our own experience with self-publishing, books. And, you know, we have our own, publishing company called, Body and Soul Publishing that we do all this through. And through all of our, you know, learning through the years, we thought there's got to be other folks out there that have a story to share.
Yeah.
We like to say it's your story for God's glory. And, you know, we just believe that every one of us, if we sit down and start writing out our testimony, we've got something to share that someone in the world is waiting to hear. Someone around the world is actually needs that connection. And if that comes through our books, great. But we just believe there's others out there. So we started something called Christian Book Academy that helps other aspiring authors jump through the hoops of getting their books in print and Kindle, really sharing their testimonies of what God's done in their lives so that they can then bless others. Because as you know, Greg, a book can get into a lot of hands. Whereas if we're speaking somewhere, that audience might hear us, but we're not guaranteed that that message is going to go further than that evening. And yet our books can be selling overnight around the clock. They can be sold in England, Germany, India, Brazil, you name it, and here in the United States. And it's just, it's heartwarming to know that people can be impacted by your books while you're sleeping. So,
do you do the same thing that I do? I don't know. I think every author does. I was listening to, I believe, Jack Canfield the other day, and they asked him this question. Do you get on and hit refresh to see where you're at on the gauge? And Jack Canfield, here he is. So millions and millions and millions of books. He says, every day I'm on, every hour I hit refresh.
It's just, yeah.
And I've noticed this week, I went to the top, I think 21. I hit the top 21. It's like, who's buying this book? It's been out for a couple of years. But you do that same thing, right? You hit and see where you're
ranking. Oh, yeah. It's always interesting to see where your ranking is, to see how many reviews you're up to. As you and I know, reviews are gold. And so, you know, when you're getting those reviews, Amazon takes notice.
Yes.
And we'll put you up higher in the search rankings. And so it's good. It's fuel, you know, for, you know, getting your message out.
Yeah. So how did you start getting involved, interested in writing, interested in publishing all the way back about 8, 9 years ago? What got you involved in that world?
Yeah. So back in 2011, Shelley and I thought that we were going to travel around the country in a little RV, a little 1986 Toyota Easy Rider that had about 175 square feet. And we quickly found out that we probably didn't want to do that long term. And, you know, I wasn't the handiest guy. And we started realizing, man, this thing is going to need, you know, maintenance around the clock. And but we got in this thing, and all of a sudden, a lot of our speaking engagements, for some reason, began drying up. And it was just confusing. We were kind of disillusioned. And one evening, we were going over to visit Shelley's grandparents, about an hour and 20 minutes away from where we were pulled up in our RV in Florida. And Shelley, she says, hey, there's this training all about Kindle publishing, and I'm just interested. Do you think we should buy it? And I said, go for it. It sounds like something that, you know, could really be helpful. And so that began us on the journey of writing and self-publishing books. That year, we wrote and published 23 books and put them on Amazon. And wow. We just got to work with all of the content we already had from years of ministry and also just experience in the online world. And we put these books out there, and, you know, that was a heyday back in 2012, 13, 14. It wasn't quite a saturated market when it came to Kindle books. And we really made some good monthly royalties.
Yeah.
People were finding our books. Forgiveness Formula was one of those that you'd mentioned. And people were resonating with the message and the testimonies. And today we have over 50 combined between Shelley and I that are out there. And, you know, we just continue to put together things that God puts on our hearts. And again, this got us into, you know, that it was actually a blessing in disguise having those speaking engagements dry up, because all of a sudden we all had all this time on our hands and we were scrambling. Because when you just take off expecting for things to open up and you're counting on certain things for income and it doesn't happen, you get put into scramble mode in a hurry. It's like, okay, what are we going to do right now? And our books really, during that time, God opened doors for our books to actually help provide during that season. So it was just amazing to see what God did through all that.
You know, it's amazing that I fall into that, because when the first book came out, you know, I self-published it, and I couldn't get anybody to look at it until it sold about 100,000. Everybody wanted it then. And then I got a publisher to take it and run with it. Well, these next books is coming out. I'm back to self-publishing because I realized self-publishing is the way to go. I don't think I want to be under a publisher's thumb, and I don't want to give all my money for my story to somebody else for doing something that they just crank out, when I think I've learned, and I know you know this better than anybody, that the things you learn when you make the mistakes, you know not to make them again. I'm just not a big publisher man anymore. I like the self-publishing route.
Well, we live in a different world than we did in those days when, you know, even when you got published, you had to buy 5,000 copies up front. You'd keep those in big boxes in your garage and hope that they would sell. These days, we live in a print-on-demand culture. Now you can, you know, somebody can order one or 500 on Amazon, and it doesn't matter. They'll print it and they'll ship it. You don't have to have a minimum amount. And so we live in a world where lots of people can get in on this pie, and it doesn't just have to be in a few hands. And, for some people, the traditional publishing model might work for them. But we found that we do quite well by having more control over the process, setting the price for our books, doing the marketing that we want, and then having more royalties come our way in the books that we do sell. And so it's really worked for us. If people are interested, they can find us, you know, in that academy at trainingauthors.com. And again, I think there's lots of people out there that you've got a story to share, and it just needs to be written down. And as you do that, you can hire editors for reasonable costs, as we do. You can hire somebody to format your book, or you can actually go through the whole academy and learn how to do that yourself and save you all that money. And so that's one of the reasons we have the academy. It's called Christian Book Academy, and we help Christian authors get their messages out there by learning how to use the same process we've used for years.
Yeah, that's great. We only have a couple minutes before our first break, but tell me about, let's just kind of grease the wheel a little bit about what happened with you. Apparently you had gained a little weight. Apparently you were a little larger than what you are now. And then you got involved and interested in running. In a nutshell, we have about, let's see, a couple minutes. In a nutshell, what was that all about? And then we'll pick up the rest of the story on the other side.
Yeah, so in 2008, I picked up a book when we were in one of those Barnes & Noble stores. We had just finished dinner, and I got stuffed to the gills. I think it was an Italian restaurant. And I was at my highest weight. I was more depressed. I was just in a season where I was a little bit aimless and not sure, you know, exactly where my life was headed. And I just needed something to keep me active. And what happened was I picked up this book called Ultra Marathon Man, Confessions of an All-Night Runner by a guy named Dean Karnazes. And it was kind of a funny book in terms of just stories and humor and really adventure. And that just lit a fire in me to actually begin taking up the sport of running in 2008. At that time, I was about 50 pounds heavier than I am now. And over the next 5, 6, 7 years, because I took up running in my mid-30s, so I was a late comer there. But I pretty quickly, in 5, 6 years, became a decent master's runner, you know, where I was competing with guys in my own age group on a national level, and just began to love it. And I... when something begins to take pick up momentum in your own life, it almost spreads into other areas of your life. In this case, the physical began to spread into my mental health, my spiritual health. It just became a positive outlet for me during that time. I still continue to run today, and I actually coach athletes today through a coaching service I have. But it just became one of those things where I realized, man, I wish I would have started this earlier. But again, you know, God, you know, has his timing for things, and why we pick up books when we do, and why we take up things like running when we do. And it's been quite a journey. You know, since then, I've probably run about 150 to 200 races around the country. And wow. You meet people along the journey, and people have similar testimonies to you and their own journey of gaining health, whether it be mentally, physically. So running's been a great outlet for me, and it just a way to stay active.
That's great. I'll tell you what, we're going to take our first break, and probably around 7:30, we're going to have you text if you want to be interested in winning a set of his three books. But on the other side of our break, CG, I really want to, I mean, the program is breaking the silence. So I really want to go inside what's happened in your life, or you and your wife's life, or Shelly's life, however, whatever you want to share. But I just want to kind of drill down into maybe some major things that has happened to you traumatically that you want to share with our audience tonight, and how there's always hope. And we're going to talk about that just on the other side of this commercial break. Don't leave us. 888-627-6008. Make sure you have in your phone 832-396-6525. And we will ask you to text us here shortly to win a 3-pack of CJ and Shelley's book. So join us right back on the other side of this commercial. We're right back.
This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a 3-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio.
Welcome back, and we have our guest with us tonight, CJ Hitz from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and his better half is Shelly, and they are authors of dozens of books that you can give right now, and I just want to recommend two to you right now, but The Forgiveness Formula, I personally read that, and it's wonderful, and then Broken Crayon, Still Color, a unique book and very, very enjoyable too, so make sure you just type their name in, HITZ, in Amazon, and feel free to go. And here just shortly, in about 5 to 6 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a few of their books in a tri-pack. CJ, tell me, has life always been just absolutely perfect and rosy for you? What has to be maybe considered one of the hardest parts in your life to be able to overcome?
Yeah. You know, Shelly and I have both dealt with parents that divorced, and that has definitely been one of the tougher things. I know with Shelly, that one just hit her out of nowhere. Her dad was a pastor for over 30 years and eventually had an affair, and that led to, her parents eventually splitting up, and it was just really hard. It was like a lot of Shelly's world crumbled. And in my own life, my own parents, their marriage was falling apart just before Shelly and I got married. So as Shelly and I are embarking on our marriage in 1998, my mom and dad, their marriage of 26 years was crumbling. And I'll never forget my dad, when he let me know that he found out on Easter Sunday of 1998 that mom had been having an affair. And it was just shattering. My dad was just completely obliterated. Just hit him out of nowhere. It was a shock to my brother and I. And I still remember the day was going to come where I had to meet this man that my mom eventually married, that she had an affair with. And I just remember praying for months, Lord, you're going to have to give me every ounce of grace, love, and forgiveness that you can put inside me between now and then, because right now my brother and I, we'd like to wait behind some bushes and take a sledgehammer to this guy. And that was really the way I felt leading up to the first meeting in, it would have been 2000. And I still remember getting on my knees with Shelly and just praying, Lord, you've got to give me a miracle here, because I don't know how I'm going to react when I meet the guy. And I'll never forget knocking on that door in Oregon, going back home to Oregon where I grew up, and in the town where my mom was living. And I knocked on that door, and my mom opens it. I give her a big hug, and I see Steve across the room, sort of wondering, how's this oldest son going to handle this meeting? And I kid you not, Greg, I walked through the door, and everything went into slow motion at that point, where I walked towards Steve, and I genuinely, with every ounce of my being, had love for this man. It was a love that I knew was supernatural. It was downloaded into me for this occasion. And I walked over there, and he thought maybe we were just going to shake hands, but I reached my arms out to give him a big hug. And I gave him a hug, and his body language just softened. And I just whispered in his ear, I said, it's really nice to meet you, Steve. And he just completely changed from there on. And I just remember this electricity flowing through me. It was almost like this love was just flowing through me like electricity, and God giving me a forgiveness that was otherworldly. Because from there on, we had a great relationship. We were out golfing within 3 days. I just decided then and there, I made a decision. I'm going to be Jesus to this guy. And I don't know where he stands. I don't know how his relationship with God is. But I just made a decision. And I think that's what we all have to do. There are times in life where you can either wallow in something and remain bitter. And of course, we said earlier, before the program started, you know, bitterness is like drinking poison, expecting it to hurt somebody else. And I just had to make a decision. I'm going to love this guy, and I'm going to love my mom. I don't agree with their decision, but I'm going to love them. And I'll tell you what, that set the stage to where we had a good relationship for years. And it just proved to me that all this stuff that Jesus says really is true when you apply it. But wow. You actually, it's like dynamite. You know, when he says love your enemies, he means it. When he says, when you're treated badly and you turn it around and you love people, it just melts other people. It's a power that is supernatural. And I made that decision, and it changed my life. It took a weight off of my shoulders, but it also set them at ease as well. And it just brings tears to my eyes thinking about how I could have thrown all that down the drain.
You know, CJ, how old was you if you were the oldest son when this happened?
Yeah, so I was 25.
You're 25.
Again, this was 1998 when we found out about it, and I found out about it 3 months before my own marriage, my own wedding day, and it was hard. You know, it was one of those things that even at 25, it was kind of a hard pill to swallow, because none of us ever expects it from our parents. You just think, oh, it's just going to be rosy, you know, from here on out. But life happens.
It does. And I remember I went through the very same thing. I was 17, turning 18, going off to Baptist College, Baptist University. And as I was pulling out to drive about 400 miles, my dad came running out, tapped on the window. I rolled down the window. He said, oh, by the way, your mom and I are getting a divorce. We didn't want to do this until you left the house. And I was literally backing out to go to college. And wow. I was devastated. What advice, CJ, and while we're doing this, let me just take a, because I promised at 8:30, if you want to be right now the winner of a three-pack, text me at 832-396-6525. And the first one that comes across my phone, I'll let you know, and we will get your address and mail you that packet. 832-396-6525. What advice, CJ, do you have? Because, you know, I deal with a lot of adverse childhood experiences, traumatic events, and divorce is one of those impacts that can devastate a child. You're 25. I was almost 18, and it devastated me. What kind of impact do you think it has on what I did in my own walk with my own kids when I divorced their mom when they were a lot younger than that? How do they get through this? What kind of wisdom do you have for them that have dealt with it or haven't dealt with it? And I think that may be even a bigger problem when you don't deal with it. What wisdom do you have to be able to give to them right now?
Yeah, so I think you know, one of the worst things we can do is just tell the kids that everything's just, you know, going to be rosy and you're just going to have to deal with this and get over it. And, you know, I think that when we can actually help our kids process that, if it takes a little bit of counseling, I think counseling can be a helpful, healthy thing where they're able to really get out their feelings and share, you know, all the emotions that are going through them so that they don't just bottle it up. Because I think so many kids, they do become paralyzed and they kind of, survive through school, and then they get off to college or leave the home, and they just say, you know what, I'm done with all this family stuff. It's overrated. And if they don't process it early, I think that they set themselves up to have a lot of hardness that sets in, you know, years later. So, man, allow those kids to go through some healthy counseling if possible. That's definitely one of the things. You know, I was older, and yeah. So I had to process it a little differently. I processed it more with Shelley, and then, of course, she processed her own a few years later, you know, with me. But I always tell people it's no easier for a 25-year-old compared to an 8-year-old. It's just that the 25-year-old has a few more tools in the toolbox that they're able to deal with it. And for me, I had been walking with the Lord at that point for – you know, I gave my life to the Lord in my sophomore year of college. So I had about 6 years that I'd been really right. Walking with the Lord. And so that helped me.
Go ahead and finish your thought because you was on a roll. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to share another little trauma that had happened earlier. You know, I think many of your listeners might be able to relate. You know, we live in this this age of of rampant pornography. And, you know, when I was, you know, you speak of your own childhood trauma in your book, and the things that happened to you. I didn't experience that, but I would experience what I think a lot of people experience in terms of a loss of innocence at a young age. So I remember being 7 years old and two neighborhood boys came over and said, look what we found in our dad's closet. And it was a Hustler magazine. And I just remember us going into a neighbor's yard where we knew they were out of town. And we sat behind that fence and we just perused through every page. And what happened was that planted things inside my mind, even at 7 years old, that then lingered even in my marriage. Because I want to say that there were things that happened along the way, getting in and out of, you know, finding maybe another friend's dad's Playboy stash, getting into that college. You know, even though I went to a Christian college, I still remember guys bringing home pornographic films and guys gathering in dorm rooms, watching these things. And then, of course, I still remember like it was yesterday, January 10th, 1998. That was 8 months before I was to get married. And that's the first time I personally stumbled upon internet pornography. That was when the internet was really taken off. And and I just remember it was a pop-up ad that drew me in. And I just want to say that though I overcame that through, you know, getting that out in the open and not keeping it a secret, you know, whether it's telling my wife or telling others who kind of helped keep me accountable to some of the things I was viewing, I just want to say that that was a trauma. You know, when you're a kid and you don't really know how to deal with that, how many kids today are easily stumbling? I used to say, I think today's kids are tempted more per second than at any time in the history of man. And so they have more crud to wade through to get to Jesus than we've ever had. More distractions per second, more temptations per second. It's all at the tips, you know, fingertips right here. So yeah, we live in a different age, but I just wanted to say that, maybe some of you have dealt with a trauma like that. We share more of how we've overcome some of those things in our books as well.
You know, that's an important topic, and that's something probably we haven't dealt with too much on here, and I would love to have a program just on that, because I think it was, and tell me, you know, I'm getting old and I'm forgetful, but James Dobson, I believe, years ago had a video interview with Ted Bundy. Mass murderer, the serial killer, not mass murder, but serial killer.
Yeah.
And it was, I had it on videotape and I used it at youth groups and things of that order when I was a youth pastor. And I remember one thing that Ted Bundy said that just changed my whole perception of pornography was James Dobson leaned in and said, you know, what was you thinking? What caused this to be such a controlling factor? And he said, the one Playboy magazine that I found under my dad's bed.
Yeah.
That one thought planted a seed that literally grew into a devastation that controlled his life. And then he couldn't be fed enough. And yeah, it literally, you know, well, we know what Ted Bundy did, but it literally took his life from an execution from all the murders that he did of these young ladies. But it does. It gets, the devil has an unbelievable tool, and this can be fantastic. But if it's not controlled right, it can be the most devastating thing that we hand our kids, and then pick them back up and go, "Hey, what are you reading? What are you watching? I want to see your history for the last day. Who are you talking to?" Because it's exactly what they use not only for pornography, but for predators to be able to enter into your kids' bedrooms to manipulate them. And because in a couple of weeks we have a sex trafficking group that's going to be a ministry that's coming on. That's how they grab the victims that they have for that. Unbelievable. Next break. But I want to, let's see, we got, oh my, just all kinds of people that have come on. Let me make sure I get the first one. We'll announce who's going to be the winner. Oh, boy. Look at all these. Wow, we got some people watching tonight. The first person to text in was Annie. And Annie, I know Annie, so that's awesome. And she texted in the very first one. Have a few friends that came in close seconds, but Annie Hickman in Pearland, Texas is going to be getting those. And CJ, I'll send you her address and we'll mail that off to her. So thank you, Annie, for doing that. On the other side of this break, and thank you for tell Shelley thanks for offering that and being a blessing with your books. On the other side of this break, CJ, I want to go back to the issue of trauma in your life. And then I really want to find out about forgiveness. There's not a person that's listening to us this evening, because I know it's major in my book, and it's going to be major in the next book. If you don't have forgiveness, boy, it can turn into something that's really devastating. And I want to find out what your thoughts and your insight on, since you wrote a whole book just on this topic, forgiveness formula. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk about that. And I believe Curtis is telling me, my son, that we have some questions and comments too. So, CJ, we're going to put you on the hot seat here in a minute. Great. Comments. So, Curtis, come on in, and you can share those. But we'll be right back right after this final break with CJ Hitz. And we're going to talk about forgiveness, and there's a formula that he wants to let you know about. Don't leave us. Be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
I'm on the phone trying to tell people sorry, and they're all answering me back. So I'm trying to welcome back to our final segment with CJ Hitz and his wife Shelley, and she's all, is she, well, she's not sitting next to you off the camera just saying what to say, is she? Because if she is, she needs to get in here.
I've got a little earpiece right here.
I know what that's like, yes. So tell me, and Curtis is going to come on, I believe, and whenever Curtis comes in, we'll see him on the side here. And I do have a comment from a divorce comment that somebody made. You know, Annie, if you want to text that to me or call in, either way, that'd be fine. We'll let Curtis know through Facebook. Let me just start off that basic. How important is forgiveness to becoming in a complete healed person, if we ever can be? But how important is that element, that one element of forgiveness, CJ?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's a difference between experiencing freedom in your life or walking around with this heavy weight. You know, in the old Roman times, they actually used to have as a punishment for people, they would actually tie corpses, dead corpses, to people that had to walk around with that dead corpse on their back. And what would happen is eventually that corpse would decompose. This is kind of a morbid illustration, but it would decompose into the living person's back, and eventually That's how that person would die. That was their death sentence, was they were carrying around this dead person that then began to deteriorate their own healthy skin.
Mm.
And so this is an illustration for us to say, this is what unforgiveness is like. When we walk around and choose to hold on to something against someone, even when God has told us to forgive, in order to unleash his forgiveness for us, when we choose to hold on to that, we're killing ourselves. We're walking around decaying with this dead corpse on us. And, you know, we remember the story when Peter, good old Peter, you know, he had a way of just throwing it out there and not holding back and putting his foot in his mouth sometimes. But he came up to Jesus and, you know, I'm sure he had good intentions, but in Matthew 18, it said, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And, you know, that may seem like, well, that's really nice and generous, Peter. We appreciate that. Seven times. But I'm just here to tell you that I'm glad Peter wasn't Jesus. Because right after that, Jesus emphatically, with an exclamation point, says, no, not seven times, 70 times seven. Now, that was supposed to be hyperbole. Yeah. That was a way of Jesus saying, unlimited.
Yeah.
Because your Father in heaven has forgiven you so many times over and over again. What if we were to count up all of our thought life and all of the ways we've mistreated others, look at how many times we're shown forgiveness just in an hour, let alone a day or a month or a year. And so as generous as that sounded by Peter, I'm glad Jesus put him in place, because he essentially was saying, Peter, you're going to be called to show forgiveness for a lifetime. And the moment you choose not to, is the day that you're going to have a dead corpse that eats into your own flesh and kills you. And so forgiveness is the key that unlocks. It frees us from being a slave to that person that we choose not to forgive.
And isn't it interesting that Peter needed the very thing that he was trying to find the definition and the perimeter of a few months later or a few weeks later? He needed forgiveness when he denied Christ three times. So he needed the very thing that he wanted to limit it possibly to other people that was around him. When can I get rid of this guy? When can I push him to the side? When do I have to say, enough's enough, get out? Never. You always offer forgiveness. We have Annie on line two, I believe. Annie, come on in. She has a question, I believe, or a comment on maybe divorce. Annie, go ahead. Can you hear her, CJ?
I can.
Can you hear CJ? Okay, go ahead, Annie. We'll see if we can hear you.
Okay. My comment has to do with the trauma that children experience when it is not their family breaking up, when they're just experiencing and seeing their friends' families break up. It's a ripple effect that spreads over into society. When my daughter was in junior high, I think maybe seventh grade, she came home from school one day sobbing, really brokenhearted. Three of her friends told her that day their parents were breaking up. And of course, they were 12 years old. They were upset, crying. And that made her feel fragile. It made her feel like the whole world was going through divorce suddenly, and that maybe she would face that too. And so we had to stretch out across the bed with her and rub her back and tell her, no, that's not going to happen to mom and dad. We are people that love each other. You don't see us fighting and throwing things at each other and leaving because we're mad and all those things, do you? No. Well, that's not going to happen with us. Jesus makes our marriage strong, and he's going to keep making it strong. And you don't have to worry that that will ever happen here. And so she learned that those three girls could take comfort in her and her stable home life. And actually, two of the three came to our home a lot that year and gained some stability through it. to have normalcy, to say, okay, there's a dad, there's a mom, there's love in that home. It's all okay somewhere, even if I have to go through this now, it can be okay. So I think we're not always aware that our children are reacting to all of this turmoil around them.
Good point, Annie. Yeah, thank you for calling. Great. Good point. CJ, you thought?
Yeah, well, I think that's fantastic that these girls had a stable example. I still remember years ago, I used to work in Youth for Christ, an organization that reaches kids, especially kids that are unchurched and didn't grow up in a church family. And I still remember there was a man in the Indianapolis area. He was a legend in Youth for Christ. His name was Bill Aiken. And Bill used to, you know, talk about going to the school and doing a walkthrough at age 75. And, you know, he was working at for Youth for Christ, even into his 80s. And he'd go in there and he tells the story of a girl that brought him to their lunch table, introduced him to her friends. And he sat there and he says, oh, man, I wonder what these kids are going to be thinking about this old guy coming and sitting at their table. And, you know, when he got up to leave after the bell rang and everybody left the table, this gal that used to attend his meetings came up to him afterwards and thanked him for sitting there. And she says, one of the girls looked at me after you got up and left. And she says, that guy really loves us, doesn't he? Wow. And it was just a powerful story of how, no matter what age, and he used to always say, he says, a computer screen can't reach out and give you a hug. And kids just need examples of tenderness and a godly example from men and women. And Bill was one of those that was able to go into their territory and give them hugs for Christ. And they felt his love radiate into their own lives.
Don't you think that our not only us adults, but kids are missing out right now, even though, you know, we're talking about this a lot. This doesn't bring you comfort. This right. does not bring you relationships. Matter of fact, this can take you away from relationships when you're out at dinner with your family and you're sitting there like this, thinking you're working on a relationship when it's the people around you face to face means all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. We're losing touch in so many ways with learning how to relate to each other, looking into each other's eyes. We're living in a culture that's becoming more isolated. We've seen that in the last 6 to 8 months with this pandemic. So that just sort of added gasoline to the fire of a lot of estranged relationships and people just being isolated.
Yeah. I think we have my son. He has a comment or a question. Curtis, unmute yourself. And you look just as awesome as all get out. Curtis, CJ, Curtis, here's my son.
Hey.
I see we have some great numbers tonight. A lot of people watching and listening. Curtis, what kind of comment or question or do you have for CJ tonight?
Yes, well, we got the dog in the background, too.
Hey, that's all right. The dog's fine. Hey.
Well, right. Change the scenery for the night. We got a question from David Dooley, and he's one of the, I think he watches every single show and he tries to write in a question usually. And this one is going to be kind of a long winded question. So just kind of bear with me and hopefully we can get to it.
Yeah. So, well, he's, asking, minutes, so yeah.
He's always about parenting. His biggest thing is parenting.
Right.
What can parents do to prevent this? What can parents do to prevent that? So with everything that's talked about with abuse, with the pornography that you said that is rampant today, what do you think is the way forward for parents to get better knowledge of how to prevent it, how to stop it, and just how to be able to open up and talk about it? Do you think there's a better way to counteract that? Is there classes we can give? What do you think is the best way forward to prevent all this with parenting?
Okay. Best parenting tools, CJ.
Yeah. Well, even though Shelly and I aren't parents, we're an aunt and uncle with a couple nieces that are teenagers, and we're seeing this firsthand in their own lives. And, you know, we're living in an age where there just has to be accountability with parents and kids. Rules, real rules about the technology being set into a basket is one example. You know, at say 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, those phones are not going into the rooms with yes. the kids, because we've heard stories of kids putting their phones underneath their pillows and then it'll vibrate and text all night, you know, where 2 and 3 in the morning, they're getting texts from their friends. First of all, that's not good for learning, that disruption of sleep. But second of all, it's just dangerous,
yeah.
because you're just inviting the enemy right into their bedrooms. And so that's one thing, is parents just have to put the foot down and say, these are the rules in our house for technology. And we're collecting all the devices. And not only that, but, you know, there are all kinds of great accountability software things where parents can get a list from even what the kids are looking at on their phones. It's not just computers anymore. There's great stuff for smartphones.
Right.
So getting that report.
We're down about 30 seconds and we're going to get cut off. So yeah, good advice. Tell David, thanks for writing in, Curtis, thing right there. I tell you what, CJ, if they want to get in touch with you, trainingauthors.com.
That's the site for Christian Book Academy if they're interested in endeavoring to self-publish their own books. And then this new venture that Shelly and I are just we've just started, it's Alive and Active Wellness. And okay. we're it's a Christian ministry geared to helping especially women over 40 stay active both in the word and in their bodies physically. And so aliveandactivewellness.com.
That's great.
To the same name on our Instagram. That's where we're doing most of our stuff, is Alive and Active Wellness. And that's on our Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, CJ. Tell Shelly, thank you for giving you up this evening. We're down about 10 seconds, but thanks for being with us this evening. Please get on Amazon, download a couple books, and they're pretty economical right now. So now's a good time to do it.
Especially, yeah.
I really highly recommend Forgiveness Formula.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to sending out that prize pack to Annie.
We'll do it. And I'll email you this week with her address, and we'll get that out. Thank you, CJ, so much. No matter what you do, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're getting ready to go into, I want to let you know there's always, always hope. Thanks for being with us this week. Next week, Dr. Bruce Perry will be right here live from Houston, Texas. Join us 8 p.m. Central Time for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. CJ, thank you for being with us from Colorado. Have a great week.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6555. Or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.